Christ is risen.
Rejoice, heavenly powers, sing choirs of angels, exalt all creation around God's throne. Jesus Christ, our King, is risen. Sound the trumpet of salvation.
Rejoice, heavenly powers, sing choirs of angels. Jesus Christ, our King, is risen.
Christ is risen.
Death has lost its sting.
Steadfast love endures forever.
Rejoice in this day of salvation.
Steadfast love endures forever. Hallelujah.
Through Christ's death. Through Christ's death and resurrection, the forgiveness of sin is now possible for all who repent. Let us pray. Merciful God, we confess that we cling to our assumptions about how life on earth should unfold, forgetting that life in your realm shatters those expectations. Forgive us when we go through our daily routine, forgetting to look for the risen one in our midst. Open our eyes and our hearts, O God, to the full awareness of your presence with us in each and every moment of our lives. New light has shined in our deep darkness. Restore us again to your presence. We pray in the name of the Christ who is alive. Amen. Do not fear. God has conquered death. Jesus Christ, who is crucified, is risen from the dead. Love has been poured out again on each one of us. Let us pray together. Resurrecting God, open our hearts to your holy word so that we may truly understand, and understanding that we may believe, and believing that we may follow Jesus Christ in all faithfulness and obedience, seeking your honor and glory in all that we do. Amen.
A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead. And indeed, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Great is the mystery of the gospel.
Thanks be to God.
So much can happen in a week. Just a week ago, they were entering the city, and people were shouting Hosanna and waving palm branches, and things went downhill from there. There was a meal with his closest followers, a meal that was so confusing, not a single person there knew exactly what to do with it. Jesus broke bread, gave it to them, and said, "It's my body." He passed the cup of wine and said to them, "My blood." And they were completely thrown off balance. And then out to a garden where they were supposed to stay awake and just couldn't. And then the guards and the kiss. And then they scattered. Except for the women. The women stayed close by and stayed and watched as everything they knew, everything they hoped for, died on that Friday afternoon. Their life would never be the same. And now, it was the morning of the first day of the week. The Sabbath had ended, the darkness was lifting, and Mary Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had been exorcised, and the other Mary, and we don't know much more about her than that she is the other Mary, come to the tomb just to look at it. They're not finishing any work they started. They're not coming to do anything in particular. They just want to see the place where Jesus' body was laid. They had been close enough that they saw him die. They knew that much. They knew that everything they thought was real, everything they knew was going to be, had died with him. But they just wanted to see the place. As they approached, they saw the guards standing there, the guards placed by the authorities, so no one would take his body and start spreading stories about how he had been raised. They knew the guards would be suspicious of them. 2 women in the early morning coming to the tomb. But as they approached the tomb, the ground began to tremble. Slightly at first. And then the trembling became a shaking. And finally, the women went to their knees, holding on to each other, hoping they could stay at least that much upright. And the guard standing at the tomb froze and looked like dead men. The shaking moved the stone in front of the tomb until the tomb was open. And now there was a third person there. Someone whose presence was electric, like lightning. Someone who was dressed in white, not like the guards. And the stranger says, "Don't be afraid." Must be a messenger from God, must be an angel. That's what they always say. They're required to say that as soon as they meet a mortal. "Don't be afraid." The women were terribly afraid. They were terrified. The stranger said, "I know who you're looking for. You're looking for Jesus who was crucified." Notice he doesn't say, "Jesus who was your rabbi, Jesus whom you followed, Jesus whom you loved," but "Jesus who was crucified. They saw it. That was the one they were looking for. "He's not here." Is that bad news or is that good news? Had somebody taken the body? What in the world is going on? "He's not here. He is raised, just like he said he would be. And now, you, Mary Magdalene, and the other Mary, are to go to his disciples and you are to tell them that he will meet them in Galilee just like he said he would. That is my message to you. And so the women left with fear. After all, telling someone not to be afraid doesn't mean they're not going to be afraid. There was plenty to be afraid of. They went in fear and a kind of miraculous joy at good news. News so good that it couldn't be true, but that's what the messenger had said. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, the first two people to carry the gospel, even to Jesus' closest disciples, the first two people to preach the good news of Christ's resurrection were two women. One who had had seven demons removed from her, and one who is practically anonymous. And these are the first Christian preachers. They're going along the way to where the male disciples are in hiding at this point, and they meet another stranger along the way, and this time the presence isn't electric, and this time the clothing is not white as snow, but as the stranger comes toward them, they begin to recognize familiar aspects of his gait, as he gets closer, of his face. It's Jesus. And Jesus says to them the very same thing that the messenger had said: don't be afraid. But go to those no-count, cowardly followers of... No, that's not what he says. Go to those sniveling, faithless... No, that's not it either. He says, go to my brothers. That's right, the ones who ran away when I needed them most. Go to my brothers and tell them that I will meet them in Galilee just like I told them I would. And so not only are these two women, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, the first two Christian preachers, the first two to proclaim the gospel, they are also the first two agents of reconciliation between Jesus and those who had broken his heart. Aren't we glad when we break the heart of Jesus that there are those persons who come to us and say, Jesus sent me, he will see you just like he said he would. On the day that everything they thought they knew crumbled, and on the day when they lived in that limbo of not knowing what would come next, and on that day when a new life began, a life they could not even begin to imagine, Jesus had been with them all along. They go to the disciples, the brothers, and they give them the news. And then Jesus does meet them, and he sends them out into all the world. You know, that's what apostles are. They're people who are sent. And so the first two apostles who are sent are Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. And then the rest of the apostles are sent into the world to preach the good news that God's love can overcome any tragedy in life. God's love can overcome even death. 5 years ago, on Easter, I told you about our friend Sophie. Our younger daughter Lizzie and Sophie had started kindergarten together, and they had been friends from kindergarten through elementary school, through middle school, through high school. And they both went off to their different colleges, and they continued to be friends. And then one night, one Friday night, we got a call saying that Sophie, who was in school in Chicago at the School of the Art Institute, had been on a treadmill and had simply collapsed with a stroke. Word came trickling in. She couldn't speak. She could not move her right side. Now, all through high school, Sophie had performed in plays, something she had started in elementary school. She was a singer. She was a dancer. She was an actress. She was a writer. And on that day, on that treadmill, everything she thought she knew, everything she hoped for, crumbled, collapsed. She stayed in the hospital for a lengthy period. And that was followed by another lengthy period of a variety of types of therapies. It was painful. It was difficult. And she and her family never gave up. Last year, I gave you an update on Sophie. There is a thing at Hume Fog, where she attended high school, an event called Back on Broadway, since that's where Hume Fog is. And those who had performed in plays in high school would be invited back to perform again. And Sophie was invited back, and Sophie stood on that stage again and sang. And in this past year, there's been a documentary film made about Sophie. The American Aphasia Association, along with her family, put together a documentary called Still Sophie. It's playing at the Nashville Film Festival this coming week. I got to see a bit of a preview of it. And when you hear Sophie sing, you cannot imagine that anything ever happened. She sings "Maybe This Time," and you would not be able to tell that anything had ever happened between her performances in high school and that performance. But then she begins to speak. And as she acknowledges, speaking is much more difficult. Because you see, the words form in her head, but they take a longer journey to get to her mouth and to come forth as speech. She still wears braces, but at one point in the film, she says, "But I'm still me. I'm still Sophie." I don't know how she would talk about that, but as I think about Sophie's story in the context of the story that we just heard, the story that we celebrate this morning, Sophie is still that person God created. Sophie is still that person God sees. Sophie is still that person God loves. There is nothing that can happen to us in this life that can rob us of that, not even death. When you think about Mary Magdalene and her seven demons, when you think about the struggles she went through, when you think about the followers of Jesus who went out with this message of love for all, and almost every one of them was martyred for preaching that message. After all, to go forth preaching, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you, bless those who persecute you, pray for them. That's as painful as physical therapy sometimes, isn't it? That's not easy. There is a big gap on that journey between our thinking it and our saying it and our doing it. But as Mary Magdalene goes out, and there are many legends about where she went and what she did, none of them I know are historical necessarily. And there are many legends about the male disciples who go out. But I've always been drawn to the other Mary, because we don't know a thing about her. I think she must be like you and me. Perhaps she went back to her daily life with that same message. She was still Mary. She was still that person God created. She was still that person God sees. She was still that person that God loves. And there was nothing that could happen in her life after this day that would ever change that. This is Sophie's witness, I think. She might not call it that. It's her witness to us, those of us who go through loss, those of us who think our lives are over because someone died or someone left or someone we love does not love us in return. The witness is Mary is still Mary. Sophie is still Sophie. Michael is still Michael. You are still you. There is that person in each of us that God created, that God sees, that God loves. And no circumstances of life can rob us of that. The good news is that the risen Christ is with us. That doesn't mean that terrible and tragic things won't happen. That's no protection, no guarantee, except that the risen Christ will be with us, will meet us wherever we wind up. For the disciples, it was Galilee. For Sophie, it was in a whole series of therapy sessions, physical therapy and other kinds of therapy. But that person that God made, that person God sees, that person God loves in each of us will experience that presence in a way that not even death can take away. My friends, that is the good news. Thanks be to God. We affirm our faith in lots of ways, and especially on this day, we affirm our faith in the greatness and mystery of the good news. So I invite you to stand as you're able. Your affirmation of faith is printed in the bulletin. Please join me as we tell our story together. This is the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved. Christ died for our sins, was buried, was raised on the third day, and appeared first to women, and to Peter and the 12, and to many faithful witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn from the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, by the power of the Spirit. Christ is the head of the body, the church, and by the blood of the cross reconciles all things to God. Amen.
It is with great joy that we welcome you this morning. Whether this is your first time worshiping with us or if you've been here for a long time, we are glad that you are here. We invite you to register your presence with us by passing the attendance pad that you'll find near the center aisle down the pew if you've not already done so. In the pew racks in front of you, you'll find a gray card. We invite you to list your prayer requests there and place them in the offering plates. Please indicate if these are to be shared or are confidential. Everyone is invited to join us for our annual Easter breakfast in the gymnasium immediately following this service. The gym is located on the first floor, one level below us here in the sanctuary. If you're a college student, either graduate or undergraduate, we invite you to join our student community for lunch at Easterfest at Vanderbilt. Please meet in Reed Hall after the 11 o'clock service to walk together to the courtyard next to Benton Chapel. This morning, we celebrate the birth of Emma Catherine Pettigrew, who was born on March 21st to Durham and Sarah Pettigrew. She is welcomed also by her big brother, Charlie Pettigrew. We remember Becky Lane this morning and her family as they mourn the death of her aunt, Margaret Ann Craig Robinson, who died on April 4th. We remember Thor Anton Cologne, who died on Thursday, April 13th. Among his survivors are his mother, Bonnie Baker, and his brothers, Jason Catalone and Dominic Baker. At the time of this publication, plans had not been made for services. Prepare us now to hear you speak to us, loving God, as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of new life, on this morning of joy and celebration, we open our hearts to you. Like the women at the tomb, we may be surprised by your power, amazed by your grace, or maybe even a little fearful because we don't yet fully understand what all of this means. So meet us where we are, O God. Like Jesus greeting the women, assure us of your presence. Calm our fears and anxieties, and show us how we can serve you. We recognize that even as we sing Alleluia, there are places in our world and in our lives where darkness and death seem to reign. So we lift them up to you, merciful Savior. We have heard the story of your redeeming love, how you conquered death for the sake of the whole world. And we trust in your power to transform even the most difficult of circumstances. Come, Holy Spirit, free us from the oppressive forces of this world so that all people might live in peace and freedom with abundance. Help us, your church, to live as resurrection people, people of love, people of mercy, people of grace, people of hope. Empower us, O God, to work with you for the sake of your kingdom, so that all might know the good news of Jesus Christ and proclaim in confidence with us, Alleluia, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. It is in the name of that risen Christ and by his Spirit that we pray together the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As resurrection people, let us offer our gifts back to the one through whom we have new life. May we give our tithes and offerings this morning with joy and thanksgiving.
God made, you whom God sees, you who God loves, go forth to express that love that not even death can take away. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed.